Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. We have another web address, paulsevangel.com. Both go to the same place. You can go there, you can download these programs for free, and also you can get copies of some tools that we have available. We have the Concordant Literal New Testament, the Concordant Commentary, and we have Martin Zender's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And speaking of Martin Zender,
I'm here in Chicago.
You're here in Chicago once again. And we have been talking about your book, How to Be Free from Sin,
yes,
While Smoking a Cigarette. Before we get started today, I want to read page 22 and part of 23 from your book. And it's entitled, Who We Really Are. It says, as people of faith, our walks are up and down. Yesterday we had victory over sin, today we didn't. Tomorrow we might, depending on what Sheila wears to the office or how the bakery smells on the way home. If God reckoned his favor of us according to our walks, he'd be dizzy. But it's we who get dizzy, not him. The challenge is to see ourselves as God sees us. That's a great statement. Nothing can be said here without considering the cross. The cross of Christ is why sin can't condemn us. The cross of Christ is why I can sit here in front of a computer monitor and write about it while eating a Tootsie Pop. Without the sacrifice of Christ, sin separates us from God. But because of it, we are delivered from sin's condemnation even while caught in its clutches. In other words, we learn its lessons now without feeling its lash. These are all just fancy ways of saying that we are free from sin while smoking a cigarette. To those still struggling with guilt, condemnation, and discouragement that comes from being a sinner, I have these three things to say to you. Number one, you feel condemned while God sees you as justified, Romans 5:9. Number two, you're waiting for the lightning bolt while God's thoughts of you are of peace, Romans 5:10. And number three, you fear for your salvation while God is not reckoning sin to your account, Romans 4:8. Because of Christ's work, God's disposition toward you is sunshine, 2 Corinthians 5:19. That's a great statement. That comes from page 22 and 23 of your book here, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Any comments, Martin?
Yeah, well, most Christians today act like sin is still an issue. It's still the thing that's going to separate us from the love of God. Where Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can. Why is sin still a roadblock? If Christ hadn't come, we could entertain such terrible thoughts.
Yeah.
But because of his sacrifice for sin, now this is why all these things you just read, number one, two, and three, this is why these are true. Because we had a Savior who did something that we could not do. We're not cooperating with him. As you like to say, I've heard you say this, and I think this is great. Your contribution to the evangel is being a sinner. You're Savior fodder. That's a humbling thing to consider yourself.
Yeah. God does all the saving.
We do all the sinning.
And that's right. And we do all the being saved.
Oh, that's right, being saved. Well, yeah, in the meantime, we make mistakes.
Exactly.
But we walk in newness of life.
One of the things we pointed out, we were teasing you a little bit in the past, we said, this is all part of Romans 6. You really don't need to buy any of our books to get this. You just need a Bible. And, of course, we recommend the Concordant Literal New Testament for this. But Paul tells us this, for the one who dies has been justified from sin. Now, one who dies has been justified from sin. Now, it doesn't say from sins, but from sin, the root that produces the fruit. The problem with Christians, they're trying to knock off all these sins. Adultery,
yeah, one at
lust,
a time, yeah.
Gluttony, all these things. But God didn't deal, God dealt with the root.
Right.
Justification is for the fruits.
Paul is the only one that deals with the root,
exactly.
Isn't he? The Apostle
he does,
Paul.
He does deals with the root. Romans 3 and 4 deal with the fruits of sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 5, 6, 7, 8 deal with the root the thing that produces. Right. And Paul, in his evangel, tells us what God does with the fruit and what he's done with the root. All have sinned and come short, or, you know, are wanting of God's glory.
People who are going after these little sins, it's like taking a pair of scissors and snipping off weeds, you know, at the middle. It doesn't do any good. You have to pull the darn thing out, and Christ did that.
And that's what Paul says here. For the one who dies has been justified from sin. It's like, say you've been an alcoholic all your life, and you die. Somebody can't go to your... If somebody went to your tomb and waved over a bottle of whiskey, how's a dead man going to react?
Yeah.
He's not going to react. No. Paul says here, it doesn't say for the one who gets victory has been justified from sin, but the one who dies. And what this means here is it's our position in Christ that justifies us from sin itself. A believer today has no relationship to sin. He's been justified from it completely.
And the only way you can wrap your head around that is you have to believe what God has said about it. You can't use your reasoning. You have to believe, have faith that this is what God has said.
Regardless of your practice.
Regardless of your practice or how you feel about it. Well, I just feel that God's still mad at me. I just feel the guilt concerning my sins. Well, feeling, here's a radical statement. Feeling has nothing to do with this whatsoever. It has nothing to do with it. It's believing what God has said.
And remember this, a realization of our death to sin and life in Christ will give us power to cope with sin. Always remembering that sin cannot bring us into disfavor because of the super exceeding grace. Law, as we shall see in Romans chapter 7, not only cannot deliver from sin, but actually forges the fetters of sin and makes sin's bondage more cruel and galling. The law said, "Accursed is everyone who is not remaining in all things written in the scroll of the law to do them." Grace says, "Blessed are you, whatever you may do, for Christ has justified you, and not one dare bring anything against you." The fallacious logic of the old humanity immediately imagined that this gives license and encourages us to sin. But its actual effect is quite the opposite. Grace, not law, has power to deter us from sinning. No one who has an actual experience of grace reasons that because there is immunity, therefore he will sin. The offender against law flies in the face of law. But the offender against grace feels the heinousness of this of his offense and flies from it. I was just quoting there. That wasn't my words. That was A. E. Knock. I wish I had said that.
Oh, I wish I'd written that.
But that is a great statement. Law, according to Romans 7, what's interesting, and Paul writes in Romans 7 about the law. He says, the law was actually the capital for the sin factory to produce its product. Paul says, for besides, Romans 7, verse 7, I had not been aware of coveting, except the law said you shall not be coveting. Now sin, getting an incentive through the law, through the precept, produces in me all manner of coveting, for apart from law, sin was dead. The law actually was the capital.
This was a shocking revelation. The Israelites did not get this information back in the days of Mount Sinai because they had to walk this out. And it's a demonstration to us. The law was, it's a demonstration of the incapability of flesh to produce righteousness through a list of instructions. It was a, quote, experiment, unquote. I say experiment because God doesn't experiment. But he took one nation, gave them the law, as a demonstration to everybody that you cannot do this. But instead of realizing that lesson, and Paul is hammering it home here, he's giving us truth that Israel didn't get, that the law came to produce indignation. Romans 5:20, you ought to read that too.
Romans 5:20. Law came in by the way that the offense should increase.
Increase. And Paul is proving that in Romans chapter 7. I didn't even think of coveting until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And the very command produced in him more coveting. And the purpose of the law then was to drive people, as we said earlier this week, in frustration to Christ. Yet today, this same law that is a dispensation of death and condemnation is being put up in schools, in law buildings, as the means to righteousness. This is, to use a scriptural word, stupid.
It is.
It does not produce righteousness. It produces lawlessness.
The Bible, Paul calls the law a dispensation of death, a dispensation of condemnation.
Where are the, I've never, you know, why haven't we ever heard these verses?
Yes,
the Ten Commandments, the sacred Ten Commandments, a law of dispensation,
well, let's repeat
a condemnation.
It. It's a dispensation of death and a dispensation of condemnation, yet the evangel that Paul brings is a dispensation of the Spirit and a dispensation of righteousness.
And we are not throwing away the law. We're just saying this is the purpose of it. Now, Christ Jesus fulfilled everything that the law required. We're not saying that the law is sin. It's not. But you have to recognize its purpose in paving the way, making the need of a savior.
Yeah, the Christian religion is the one that makes light of sin, not us. Because the Christian religion says that sin is still an issue.
Yes.
That sin is too powerful for God.
Right.
But what we're saying is that sin is a foe that has been defeated now and will again be defeated in the future when we get our new bodies. Sin is not going to be forever in God's universe. And it started with the cross, and it's a progressive work that will finally be consummated when Christ delivers up the kingdom to his God and Father and death is abolished. We can look back. You and I have been justified gratuitously in his grace. Sins are taken care of. You and I right now are dead to sin in Christ's death. It's no longer an issue for the believer, and it'll be completely eradicated when we meet the Lord in the air. We have our new resurrection bodies, and it'll be completely, finally, throughout the whole universe, be conquered when Christ delivers up the kingdom to his God and Father, 1 Corinthians 15, 20-28. We are not making light of sin. We are saying that sin is so horrible that it took Christ to die for it, and God is going to forever remove all traces of it from his universe. How is he going to do it? By conquering it.
To make sin an issue is to slap the Savior in the face, to say that he did not deal with it, and our teaching is that sin was so bad that God is going to, as you said, Dan, God is going to eliminate it from his universe. It's already been eliminated in spirit. We're now reckoned righteous because of Christ. He's going to eliminate it actually from our bodies when we are raised and made incorruptible.
That's why Paul says that same word here, that present yourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. Well, Martin's book is called How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. This is a book for people with weaknesses. Get a copy of it. And where can they get it, Martin?
MartinZender.com.
At MartinZender.com, or you can go to our website at CrossAndThrone.com. And CrossAndThrone.com, we'll make available this book to you, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. We also have the Concordant Commentary and the Concordant Literal New Testament. You need to have these tools. Martin and I are having a conference here in the Chicagoland area. We'd love to see you up here. It's September 18th through the 20th. Go to our website for more details. Again, it's at crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. And we'll be talking about a lot of these things at that conference, won't we?
I just found that out, but yes, we will.
We'll be. And if not from the platform where we'll be speaking, but in our private conversations afterwards. But these are some of the. This is some of the burden of our ministry here, is to let people see the freedom that they have in Christ. We'll also be in Amarillo, Texas, on October 9th through the 11th at Hidden Fall Ranch. And you again go to our website for more information on that. By the way, also on Martin's website, martinzender.com, you can get those Zender talks.
Yep.
And a lot of good teaching there is, and I'm sure many of you listen have already heard Martin before. But if you haven't, it's a treat. Go listen to Zender talks and get a copy of his other books. He's got a book called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, The Really Bad Thing About Free Will, and he's got a book on prayer, intelligent prayer. So go there and get those. This is Dan Sheridan. Until next time, we'll be back tomorrow, won't we, Martin?
Yes, can't wait.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.